Okay, great. Here we go. Hi, guys. It's the Hi Guys Podcast. We back again. Another episode for you. It's just me. It's just the host, that worm guy. The rest of the Hi Guys aren't here because they lame. That's why.
They're too high.
Exactly. That's probably the problem. They smoke.
They got too high and they forgot.
Right. But fortunately, we do have a guest, so we do have somebody to talk to, rather than just me rambling while I drink some Jack and some sweet tea.
What are you, Jack and sweet tea? That sounds nice. Sounds refreshing.
It is actually
nice summer drink.
Mm-hmm. The guest, please introduce yourself to our lovely audience.
Hi, I'm David Kirsch, comedian, and I'm here with my dog. Is there visual or is this just an audio recording?
It's pretty much audio, but I mean,
thank God.
To give thank the you, audience Jesus. A picture would help them. But yes, I'm just showing here in my office, so they already know I'm just kind of over here lit already high. I hope you guys are too. Okay.
I am sitting on a mattress on the floor.
Mm.
I'm in the middle of moving. Classy. I also just started a new psychiatric medication. I don't know if that counts as being high. I don't know if that'll captivate the Hi Guys audience.
Oh, it definitely will. It will.
Cool. So I don't know how it's going to react with weed, but I guess we're going to find out.
Yeah. We're going to find out.
We're like doing some science here on the Hi Guys.
Mm-hmm. So I do have some questions that we do typically ask the guests when they come on. Just a
love
few
it.
Kind of get your, how you are and like kind of pick your brain a little bit. So what are you smoking? What are you drinking? If you know the particular strand or if you... just happen to be like a weed head like myself, you might just be smoking weed. That's that's what I typically smoke. So whatever name.
Right now I have two options. I have one half of a pre-roll that I got months ago and I took a couple hits off of. And I mean, it's probably, I don't know what the shelf life of a pre-roll is, but I feel like it might have like expired because I got it, I don't know, January, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I have a jar of weed dad gave me.
Hey,
my dad, I'm from Northern California, so my dad grows weed naturally. Mm. Most people's dads grow weed where I'm from. So my dad, he made a special weed for all of his children this year.
Okay.
Where he lives up in the mountains. And
how thoughtful.
Yeah, he collected different wild animal droppings through the forest to make a compost tea.
Okay.
To make this weed. So I have never tried it before, but I guess tonight's as good a night of any. I might get way too high. I don't even know. I mean, it sounds like something that would be incredibly strong.
Well, if it has like animal droppings, wild animal droppings do. So it's definitely going to affect you in some way. It's going to unleash the beast. You're going to be howling at the moon probably. So
that would be cool.
That's lit. like I said myself, I'm over here just smoking some. I believe it's cookies. If I had to kind of think about what I'm smoking by me, like I said, I'm drinking Jack and sweet tea. And next question for our lovely guest: which would you say is better, wake and bake or smoking before bed? I will say myself personally, I am somebody who smokes pretty much throughout the day, but I say a wake and bake is always preferable to like possibly going to bed high because I'm not much of a smoker before bed. So
interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to be like you, but that was a long time ago. When I was in high school, I smoked weed every day while my brain was developing. And I feel like I don't need weed anymore because of all the brain damage. But I'm just like this all the time. Yeah, I remember in high school, I would wake up every day and do something called a bong shit, where I'm pretty sure you can just kind of assume what that is.
I can get a picture in my head already.
Yeah. I would take my first shit of the day while taking like massive bong rips.
Yeah.
And now I have things to do, you know. I'm just not functional. Like, I didn't accomplish shit in high school, okay? That's why I don't, you know what I mean? Didn't go to college, really, went to community college. Mm-hmm. I can thank my beautiful morning bong rips for that. But bro. Now, for sure, before bed, that is the only time I will ever enjoy weed, probably ever again.
Okay, fair enough.
So, I can't have anything to do. Like, if I have anything to do while I'm high, it just fucks up my high.
I get where you're coming from too. I can understand the I want to be focused and not want to see, like, I'm somebody that doesn't like to look like I'm high, even though a lot of the times I do look like I'm high. So if I can avoid that, it's like, all right, if I got something serious to take care of later on in the day, I'm not going to smoke. But if I am going to smoke, it's going to be at a time where it's like convenient, where somebody isn't going to be able to tell that I'm high, and I can still be able to function. So I get what you're saying. But I'm also somebody who's like, I'm more creative. I'm more like thought, like provoking, I guess, when it comes to me being high. So if I'm high, it's like, well, whatever task I got to take care of, I'm going to do it like a lot faster. I'm probably going to be even more proficient. I'll probably be a lot more jollier too. So
one of those functional stoners that I hear so much about.
Mm-hmm. Functional stoner.
For the longest time, I thought everyone who claimed to be functional was just fucking lying. I can't picture it. Like, I just can't even imagine being like that. I remember I used to have this kit with me all the time to like cover up my highness. It was Visine, mouthwash, and hand sanitizer, just to get all of this like stench of weed off of me and make my eyes nice and bright.
Good
and regiment. And I remember it was my freshman year of high school, and me and all my friends were smoking out of an apple, like behind a dumpster at some apartment complex down the street from the high school. Classic scene. And someone called the police on us.
As you do.
And then, and we had like chucked the apple, we're walking. They search us all. They search my bag, and they looked at me. I'm like, I'm not high. And they're like, okay, I guess you're not high then. And they let me walk away. And I walked like 10 feet down the street, and they're like, come back. And they gave me a sobriety test, which I guess I failed. The one where they do the finger thing. Have you ever had that one? And then they move it closer to your face.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that has to be bullshit.
No, it's gotta be.
They're like, oh, you're supposed to cross your eyes or something. I'm like,
they're trying to ask you to do a bunch of things that your motor skills shouldn't be able to do at that time. But I mean, honestly, if you're somebody who's like, if you're an athlete or a dancer or somebody who's like kind of aware of their body, you could be tipsy and still pass that test just because, you know, you can understand that what they're asking you to do. They're always put your hand out this way and then touch your nose with your right hand. And if you're somebody who has to think about, oh, which one's my right hand, and you make a mistake, that's what they're looking for. Anything that'll make you slip up. But fuck the
police. Yeah. No, yeah, honestly, I don't like the cops at all. I really don't.
Next question.
It would be cool. Okay.
Would you smoke before or after sex?
Before, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I think before and after, maybe. I mean, assuming that the sex is happening at night.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's during the day and I have anything to do after that, then right. I'll just stay sober.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say before. I think that definitely that's one of the few things that weed makes better for me is mm-hmm. sex and food.
Right.
That's and movies.
Yeah, and especially movies. I always make sure that I smoke before the movies.
Yeah.
It makes me more involved and like more excited about what's about to happen.
Yeah, I've been like working as a stripper for a long time, and a lot of the girls that I work with get absolutely like high as fuck before work. They have to, and they'll take a smoke break and just like blast blunts like mid shift.
Okay.
And I thought maybe I could do that and it would make my job like better, more fun. Mm. And one time I got high as fuck at work stripping, and I could not talk to anyone. I literally just sat there. I found a group of people who were also high, and we just talked all night. I made like $10.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, that's interesting, because that's a whole nother side. That's like, I mean, something that like is probably not even really thought of, like you saying, like on a break for you guys, it's probably the same type of wanting to get relaxed and chill out as anybody else. So it's interesting to hear that they take a smoke break and then they hitting a few blunts and then they come back out and then they're able to actually function like that.
Not me, dude, because we have to do a lot. Like I have to hold conversations. I gotta do some acrobatic shit and dance. Mm-hmm. And I just want to chill when I'm high. I don't want to do anything but that.
Right, right.
So, yeah. Right.
So, like, what you talking about? Like, yeah, if I see a stripper come over and she high and she sit down and like, hey, what's going on? I'm like, oh, she's lit. That's what that is. She's,
yeah.
She just wants to chill.
I will say, the people that I met that one night when I was high are still my friends.
Yeah.
And they have, and they ended up like making some money, you know, after that. And so then they would come in and like make it rain on me. So it ended up paying off in the end. It was networking.
Yep. Stoners are the best friends.
That's totally true. And you know what? Actually, fun fact about me. My nickname all through high school was Davy Kush.
Yeah.
And my real name is Davy Kush, but yeah, everyone called me Davy Kush. And sometimes I forget about that. Like, I used to smoke so much. I was I could take the biggest bong rips of all time. But now I realize it was just because I was a child and I just hadn't wrecked my lungs yet. So I had really good capacity. Like, they were baby fresh. There's no like road miles on them.
Nice. There you go.
Yeah.
See? Yeah. I think I started smoking when I was probably like, it was like during high school. And after that, I ended up just smoking with my guys, the high guys who aren't here. But my boys, we'd always smoke. And even though one of my other boys, he doesn't smoke as much, but like he takes edibles. And I will say that edibles are like a trip in itself, because you could take one of them and be thinking like, I don't really feel it. Let me take another one. Let me take another one. The next thing you know, your whole world is rocked and you're staring at the earth from out in the fucking planets and shit. So.
Oh yeah. Edibles are like a whole different vibe. I mean,
right.
I remember the first time I ever like made edibles with my friends. We got a hold of some like marijuana butter and we just thought we were gonna make brownies and everything was gonna be fine. Like, it was just cool. It was gonna be just like smoking, but it was a delicious treat.
Yeah.
But none of us understood the correct dosage.
Yeah.
Because in what world are you going to eat a quarter of one brownie? Like, you're going to want to eat like multiple brownies. So we all ate like four entire brownies each. And I mean, I straight up slept for an entire week.
Yeah.
It was like summer break. I was probably like 14, 15. It was like traveling through time. And I remember vaguely like being at a couple different parties, just asleep on the couch, being in a few different like cars. And then I woke up. Like we had kind of split up. There's a group of eight of us. We had all kind of split up into groups of two, and we woke up a week later and called each other like, what the fuck just happened? Like, how was it a week later? Like, what the hell was that? Nice. So I don't know. I mean, edibles, you know, when an edible is really good and convenient is if you are super hungover and you just want to sleep through it. And just wake up brand new. Just sleep through the pain and discomfort. That's when you should take way too many edibles.
That's a good combo right there, actually.
Yeah.
I'll go over and take an edible.
Take, like, that's multiple edibles. Especially if you were, like, doing cocaine or, like, Molly. You want to kill yourself. Don't kill yourself. Just sleep for 3 days on edibles. And then you'll wake up feeling absolutely fine.
Davey is helping you guys get the hangovers and all the other shit. So
prescribing you.
We already saving lives, and we ain't even getting into the topic and shit yet.
Yeah, but dude.
The topic for tonight, the topic that I thought was really interesting, and I've already actually had this conversation with my guys in the previous episode, but I'm gonna admit. I was a little high. I was a little faded, and I don't even really remember the conversation, but I felt like it was also just so good a conversation that I thought we should have it again. And even though it's just me, it's good to have a guest on to kind of have a different perspective. So that's going to be interesting. But before we get into the main topic, I do want to start with an icebreaker. And this week's icebreaker, I had been kind of like thinking to myself of like how people feel about this. And so I wanted to ask you, and like I said, again, how the High Guys podcast is run. Sometimes my boys will jump in randomly in the middle of the show. So if they do get on, I'll ask them the same thing.
But okay,
my icebreaker question is, say for instance, you've gotten with, somebody, you've been with them for a short period of time, and that person tells you that they are in love with you. Now, it's not to say you aren't feeling feelings for them or you aren't at that point yet. It's really just to say, what is an appropriate time to kind of feel those emotions? Because after maybe a few days and you are kind of having a good time with somebody, you might feel like, yeah, this is somebody who's at the time important to you, but to express something to that level is maybe in some circumstances going too far, going like too soon. But what's to say is too soon of a kind of emotional reaction to you being with somebody. So what do you think is basically give or take a timeline for expressing like really deep feelings for somebody?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's too soon after like a couple weeks. I think it really depends on how much time you're spending together. Like, I don't know. For example, I got with somebody at the very beginning of the pandemic, and then we spent like all the time together. You know, we were spending every day together, like multiple days. So I feel like our time was very compacted. Normally, you have to balance work and a social life with dating, but I don't know. I mean, in that case, you know, we felt pretty deeply for each other after a couple months. I'm not really sure. I think there's a difference between saying I'm in love with you than like, I'm developing very strong feelings for you.
Yeah.
I can see myself, I'm falling in love with you, or I could see myself falling in love with you. Like, that's a kind of appropriate for the timeline to, like, identify with just a couple of months. I don't know. For me, it would be a pretty fucking red flag if somebody said they were in love with me when they didn't even really know me yet, or they're just starting to get to know me. It kind of shows me that they're not very developed and mature with their emotions. So that would probably raise some concerns for me, because at this point in my life, like, I've been in love a bunch of times. I remember when I used to feel like that, I would be in love with someone right away when I was like 16, you know what I mean? But was 10 years ago now. So I've had a bunch of relationships since then. And I'm like, oh, that wasn't actually love. I was just immature, so I didn't understand. Right. But now I understand. Right. So if someone didn't understand what the emotions they were feeling and they thought it was love when they just met me, I would be like, oh, you're like a baby.
Right.
You're like developmentally stunted. Like,
right.
I can't get involved with someone like that where I'm at in my life now.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that answers your question.
No, that's definitely a perspective of it, because I can agree with you that something like expressing your feelings for somebody isn't like, saying that you're falling for somebody, or saying that you could see yourself falling for somebody, or kind of just expressing that, like, you are starting to feel some emotions is one thing. But to kind of say, like you were saying, to kind of say that you love me and you don't even really, you've only seen me for a few days. You've only seen a small part of like my whole being, and you're already in love with me. It does say something to your own emotional development of like, well, you possibly are just somebody who falls in love very quickly, or you're somebody who's kind of surface level emotion. You've met me, you like who I am in these circumstances, and you just want to latch on to that.
Yeah. Or you're just projecting your own like image onto me, an imperfect person, and so that means that pretty quickly I'm gonna disappoint you, because I'm not like the image that you're projecting on me. I'm a human being that you don't really know yet. So I mean, I think that's just like, either they're super immature or they're a narcissist and they're love bombing you and they're gonna like fucking become super abusive later. Or I mean, either way, it's not a good sign. prefer somebody, I think it's fine to like communicate your feelings. Like, I don't think that you should have to pretend that you don't feel the way you feel, because you don't want to scare someone away. I just think people need better ways of identifying how they feel. Like, for example, I would be totally fine if somebody said, wow, I feel really close with you right now. Like, I'm feeling very intensely right now.
Yeah.
Then, you know, I appreciate that kind of honesty. And I think that's super normal, because I think it's annoying when you're first dating someone and you guys clearly really like each other, and then they have to make a point to like kind of avoid you sometimes. Like, that's a red flag for me too. I'm like, dude, we are having fun right now. Like, are you trying to like prove some kind of point, or, you know? And I think it's just bullshit that romantic comedies have taught people.
Right,
like, that's, you can't scare them away. Like,
that's a whole nother end of the spectrum. Like, now the other flipping of that is somebody who's kind of trying to deny their emotions, being like, they do feel something for you, they do like you, they do love you possibly, but they aren't trying to go all the way into that because of whatever thing is holding them back and making them feel like, if I express myself in this way, maybe I'm like doing it too early, or maybe like I'm waiting for the other person to show me that I can express that type of feeling. So there's a whole other side of it of people who aren't saying anything in a relationship because of X, Y, and Z reason.
Yeah, true. Yeah, that's, yeah. I mean, that can be another like form of immaturity or intimacy issues.
Definitely.
I can't fucking tolerate that either. Like, that's so fucking annoying. I just want someone to be honest with me and like be like considerate of how I'm feeling also.
Yep.
So not to like impose themselves on me or creep me out, but just be open and honest and like, yeah, I guess it just takes a certain level of maturity.
Definitely.
That I feel like I've reached at this point. Thank God. Finally.
Finally.
Yeah. So.
Well, no, go ahead. What were you about to say something?
Oh, I was just wondering if you wanted to talk about the topic that you messaged me about earlier.
Yeah. That's what we're going to actually segue into.
Okay.
Right now, after wrapping up the icebreaker, now the main topic for tonight is the continuation from last week. Is that now people say there's a such thing as love at first sight. We were just talking about that. Now we're talking about now is there such thing as good sex at first sight? Can you look at somebody and tell from across the room, oh, this person is like they got a vibe about them, they got a feeling that makes you feel like, oh, the sex with them would be good. If that is such a thing, is there signs that are kind of, you know, universal, or is it just particular things about certain people? So like I said, it's good to have a guest on to kind of get another perspective. So I'm going to pass it to you. I'm going to let you speak a little bit, Davey, and then I'll jump in on my own opinion of that. But again, is there such a thing as good sex at first sight?
Oh, man. I honestly, if it was just at first sight, I don't think that there is.
Okay.
I think you at least have to talk to someone for a little bit. I think there can definitely be a vibe like right away, but mm-hmm. It's not gonna be from across the room, like that's for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, and maybe that's just for me. I mean, I don't know. I think that I can be pretty good in bed, but also I've had some super fucking awkward sex with people who maybe they're good in bed with other people and I'm good in bed with other people, but there just was not a vibe between us. Like, it sucked. And we were both kind of like, this is fucking weird. Can we just stop?
Yeah. Okay.
Like, I don't know. Or we're just like, yeah, I mean, maybe earlier I was feeling you, but I just want to go to bed, bro. Can you get out of my house, please?
Okay. Fair enough.
I would
definitely I'm really glad that you're on, because I could then pick your brain about, like, you know, where you are kind of even in a work where, you know, you can kind of pick and this like choose like so much, like, so in the club setting when you're working.
Oh yeah.
You can kind of see who might be the type of guy who's worth, you know, even the time to go over there and be like, you want to dance or like whatever it is.
Oh man, I'm not looking at, let me tell you something. I could give a fuck if they're good in bed, bad in bed. They could have a big dick, no dick, because I don't want to fuck them at all. What I'm looking for is, do you have money and are you drunk enough to spend a lot of it on me?
Exactly.
Yeah, I do have a little bit of a radar for that. Mm-hmm. And I would say, like, not to give away the game, but this is something that I've been doing for a while that has really worked out for me. And I've been known as a pretty excellent hustler.
Okay.
You just have to, I would walk around the room and make eye contact with every single fucking person in the club. Mm-hmm. And if somebody held my eye contact for a little bit, then I would go over and talk to them.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And like on slow nights, I'd just talk to every single person. And I would always try to make some kind of like physical contact, like just put my hand on their shoulder or something like that, or sit on their lap. And yeah, you know, I don't know. I'm putting out, I would say I'm trying to put out the like sexual vibe, but I mean, it's all fake.
Right.
I'm actually a super not sexual person.
Hmm.
Like, it's not like a part of my identity or anything. Maybe it's because I'm a comedian. I'm like, feel like a little weird and awkward. I feel like I'm always trying to like joke around. I'm not trying to be like seductive, but for whatever reason, when there's money on the line, like all that goes out the window. I'm like, yeah, I will be as sexy as I need to be. Like, give me some money. But in my normal life, I kind of just don't want I don't really want that kind of attention, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Unless I'm getting paid for it.
No, that's interesting. That, because even still with what you're saying, I would say that that's an aspect for maybe not for you, but on the other end, where guys will look at you and eye contact is definitely something that becomes a signal for whether this person is good and bad or not. Because I think that one aspect that many people consider is, can I look at this person while having sex? So if you have prolonged eye contact, you might be able to. Now this is leading into me considering that, like, I do think there is a such thing as like a good fuck at first sight. You can look at somebody and kind of tell by their body structure. You can tell by like the way they carry themselves whether they're going to be decent in bed or not. And I mean, you can tell from
even basic
shit, right? Like basic shit from even like the way that they kind of treat their hygiene. If somebody is not particular about, let's say, putting on deodorant, I wouldn't say that they're going to be the type of person who's going to be, cognizant enough about knowing what is required of them in the bedroom. If they're not even like taking care of the stuff that they need to do for themselves, how are they then going to be somebody who takes care of you?
That's true, but I mean, listen, there's a lot of, like, for example, I grew up in a place where there's a lot of hippies. I personally am super prejudiced against hippies because my parents were hippies, so I think they're gross. Also, I think they should wear real deodorant, not the fake fucking Toms of Maine shit, because it doesn't work, clearly, because they smell bad. But, I mean, those people fuck. I think they're just, like, I don't know. They're like dogs. Like, their sweat is putting out pheromones. They're like sniffing each other's dirty assholes and stuff. That's my theory. They're just uncivilized, but I think they go kind of nose blind. Like, when everyone smells like fucking BO, they just can't smell it anymore. But yeah, I think, I don't know. I get what you mean though. Like, sometimes you see someone and you're like, oh, this person fucks. Like, this person is very confident. I am attracted to this person. But for me, I can't just tell by looking at them. And maybe it's just being a woman versus being a man. Like, maybe as a man, you're like, you know, presumably you're like only attracted to women or whatever, or you're talking about women. But yeah, like when you're looking at a woman, you're like, ooh, she's hot. I like her figure. I would totally fuck her. But for me, it's like I have to feel kind of comfortable to want to fuck a guy. And some dudes who are super hot and they fuck a lot, I fucking hate their personality and I don't want to be around them. And they make me feel extremely uncomfortable because either they get way too much pussy and they feel like they don't have to try. And they're kind of just a douchebag, so I'm like, get away from me. Or sometimes, like, I don't know, just can't stand talking to them. Like, if I fuck you, I'm proud. Like, I don't want to fuck. I'm not, like, you know, trying to just hook up in a men's room and then never talk again. Presumably, we're going to have at least a slight conversation before and after the sex.
Yeah.
So I want to be comfortable at least enough to hang out for like an hour after we fuck. I don't want to have to like rush home. Like, I don't know.
Fair enough. Yeah, yeah. I get what you're
saying.
So
it has to be someone who's not super annoying, is my point.
Right. And I can agree with you that, like, yes, there's definitely a vibe that comes from some people who do get a lot of sex because they might have an overconfidence about them that makes them feel like they don't have to try, they don't have to put on the show for you. They actually almost treat it like, what are you going to do for me? What, show me your performance. And I definitely can agree with that aspect of it. However, in the same way that you're saying that, like, you want to be able to have a conversation with this person afterwards and like see if they're that type of person, I do believe in like kind of like not so much in a first sight type of, I can look at this person and tell that they have decent conversations, but more of like a, like, you know, and I am taking some liberties of like the first sight type of dynamic and treating it like, you know, it might not just be like just from first look. It might be from first conversation. It might be from first interaction. It might be from even a longer conversation, but it was just like, you know, first meeting this person. And now you both kind of get an idea of your kind of, you know, personalities. And you can kind of read some people and tell that, like, oh, this person not only has like a, you know, a kind of swagger about them that makes them even, you know, interesting just to interact with, but at the same time, there's a sexual vibe that comes from them that's like very interesting too. Now, I bring that back to what you were saying earlier. Now, when you're saying that you can turn it on for money, and the same way that it's not so much the money aspect of it, but like thinking, you know, if you're just having a good time, you can kind of turn on a certain charm. And if you are turning it on, and it's not to say that, you know, guys are just all thinking about like trying to have sex with like the hottest chick, because me personally too, I'm not just looking for the hottest chick. I'm looking for somebody who's also interesting to just be around. So if I encounter somebody who's very interesting, very hot, and has a good personality or just a good vibe about them, that could turn into like a, oh, okay, it makes me believe that they might be somebody who's, you know, quote unquote competent in bed, at least somebody who isn't just fucking laying there and just like, go ahead, take it, fucking do
I think like super hot girls, like perfect tens, are classically bad in bed
typically.
So what I've heard, people are just happy to be there. They just want to like admire them. They're pillow princesses. Just,
like, do whatever you do, and I'm sure that like you'll love it at the end of it.
Yeah, unless if they're super hot and deeply emotionally damaged, then that's the formula right there. It's very troubled childhood, super hot, too fucked up to know it. That's what you want to look for. The same time, I mean, yes, but also like I've done that, and that's usually who I'm attracted to. That's who I'm like, oh, I would fuck the shit out of that person.
Right.
Because they're giving me that like, you know, sad puppy, like damaged goods vibe that I know translates to like being super good in bed. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to like date that. That's going to be extremely toxic for me. First of all, I kind of am that a little bit, like kind of fucked up. So there can't be two of those people. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it is, you know, it's usually those kind of relationships are usually very short lived and crash and burn.
Right.
Right. But you can always like, I don't know, like lately I was in a pretty stable relationship for a while, and it was interesting because it was the first relationship I had ever had where there was not really sparks flying at first, but I just really felt comfortable around him, and I really, really enjoyed talking to him and hanging out with him, and he made me feel very safe. And like, I didn't even fuck him for like a month or two when we were first hanging out. And finally I did. And like the sex ended up being really good. And then I actually did become super attracted to him, but it took some time. And so I think, I mean, that's what they say. I feel like I've heard some kind of saying where, you know, don't like go for the person who makes you feel safe, not the one who makes you your like heartbeat fast or whatever. Because I mean, you can always teach someone how to be good in bed. And the people who you immediately, you're like, oh, this person's going to rock my world. Like, yeah, they're probably going to also like fuck your whole world up and like cheat on you and complicate your life a lot, make you cry. You know what I mean? Some people like that emotional roller coaster. Personally, I don't have time for that shit. I have other stuff I got going on.
So let me ask you, like, was there any particular reason why you guys, like, waited for a month? Or was it just, like, something where you were like, I'm just going to kind of take my time?
I wanted to take my time because, I mean, the relationship I had before that was with a not very good person for me, and it ended very badly. You know, classic, just, you know, dirtbag guy.
Classic.
Nice guy, cool guy. Classic but Chad. You know, it's like the only, I wouldn't say Chad, because I mean, he was fat, so usually Chads have like a six pack, but I like, I think Chubbies are cute. But I don't know, it's just, he's a cute guy. He was like kind of a player or whatever. And I was so fucking disappointed when I hooked up with him, because I'm like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? You are too old for this. You already did this. You already knew that this is bad. And it ended like really bad. So I definitely wanted to take my time with the other guy. And I mean, honestly, I think it was good. Like, I'm kind of on the fence. Because on one hand, like, I don't know, the Steve Harvey rule or whatever. I don't know if you're familiar, but he says to wait 3 months. Because if you wait 3 months and the guy is still there, then that means he's serious about you. But I'm like, but then if you fuck and then it sucks and you just wasted 90 days. Yeah. And like, I don't know. I'm not really a marriage-minded person, so... I don't know. Some people were like, you got to fuck right away to see if there's anything there. And I don't necessarily believe in that either, because if the sex is really good, then it's just going to make you like, it's just going to make your like hormones kind of override your logical thought. And it could make you think that you love someone that really you don't really have anything in common with. So I think a little compromise, maybe wait like 3 weeks, and you can always like make out and stuff, do other things. But I would say wait.
There you go.
Whatever. Just do some hand stuff.
Hand stuff.
Lord can't see that.
I'm always promoting more hand stuff.
I was checking him for testicular cancer.
There you go.
I think it's, you know, and then the anticipation builds.
It's a good way to kind of like build up. Yeah, like you're saying.
But that's just what works for me. Kind of
fill people out too.
That's just what works for me. Everything's different for other people. Like, you know,
I feel like things are different for other people, but I also feel like things are as much as things are different, things are the same. And it's not to say that everybody kind of goes by the same rules, but it is to say that, like I was saying, it's a good way to fill each other out with its levels to, like, you know, comfortability. We're talking about the concept of being able to tell whether somebody is going to be good in bed from the start. And you may not get that from the start. You were saying earlier that we can possibly teach some people that to be better in bed. I will say I will say that it's easier to teach a woman to be better in bed than it is to teach a man, because I do believe most women treat guys like they should kind of already know what they're doing. And if they don't, they aren't gonna really give them too many pointers. But
yeah,
what do you feel about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, women are conditioned to not communicate and ask for what we need. So I feel like that's changing a little bit.
A little bit.
Like, yeah. Women might feel more comfortable. But I think a big part of it is men are get fucking offended and they get all like upset about it. Yeah. So yeah, like we're always, it's kind of a scary thing to criticize a man, especially about something sexual, because they might just flip the fuck out, or you know what I mean? Like, that's my theory. Like, that's how I felt. I'm just like, you know, women are conditioned to just protect men's egos. So then we'll just never say. I try to, like, this is another reason why I want kind of honest relationships with people that I trust.
Yeah.
So I can know that I can, like, give them a little
express
critique,
yourself and kind of, yeah.
And they're not going to feel, like, hurt by it, and they're going to just change it.
Yeah.
But I think, I mean, it depends. Like, a lot of my girlfriends, they, you know, they train their men pretty well. And yeah, they can take a guy who is kind of hopeless and just teach him a bunch of things. Every guy who's good in bed had to have some nice woman, like, teach them.
Fair enough.
You know, there had to be at least one. They clearly learned fucking something. They weren't born with the ability. Like,
yeah,
somebody had to be, you know,
you gotta
their
take
professor.
Some kind of
lessons. Take exactly. Exactly.
That's what the High Guys podcast is here for, honestly. We're here to kind of try to teach young gentlemen who are like ourselves, who may not have known some of the lessons that we try to promote. But that is something that we do try to put out there, the sense that, like, if you are a guy and you are, like, whether you feel like you're good in bed or not, you should still kind of try and get a get better. I feel like a man should always be trying to get better at everything he does. So even in that realm, you should talk to your partner. You should talk to them and ask them what types of things that they like, what types of things did they enjoy that we just did, or maybe is there something that you want to incorporate or something that you want to take out? Was it something that I did that didn't really get you there? I want to get you there every time. I mean, me personally, and I feel like the rest of the guys who are on the podcast, they typically feel the same, that, like, it's supposed to be an enjoyment for both parties. So if at the end of it, you didn't get yours, I'm looking at it like, oh, okay, well, then what else do I need to do to kind of get you there? So
that's cool. I'm glad that there's male podcasts that are, like, teaching a positive message to the youth, because there's a lot of, like, just fucking dumbass alpha male podcasts these days that I just can't stand, like, and they're just everywhere, and, like, now I'm consuming, like, clips from the Fresh and Fit podcast where they're just bashing women, or, like, I became a little bit obsessed with Kevin Samuels, and I was actually a little sad when he died, I guess.
Yeah, RIP to the guy.
I mean, listen, dude, do you know how he died? Have you talked about that?
I do, yeah.
From mixing dick pills and Red Bull. Like,
yeah, of course.
I love dick pills and
as
Red Bull,
do.
Dude.
As a gentleman, that's how you do it.
Dude, yeah. But yeah, I literally saw a clip of the Fresh and Fit guys. Like, I forget which one it was, Fresh or Fit. I feel like it was Fit, but he was like, the female orgasm is useless. And I'm like, oh, so then nothing you say after this is, like, legitimate or matters. Like, right. I think their whole thing is you have to get rich enough that hot women will want you, and you don't really have to give them anything but money. And I'm like, okay, so you're just, like, fucking on the spectrum or something, or you don't have, like, empathy, or you just hate women. Like,
I can agree. I mean, I will say that they do make a few points here and there, but a lot of it is also in trying to kind of beat people over the head with their ideologies to the point where you either agree with them, and then even if you agree with them and you kind of relent, they still then try to beat it over your head because they're looking for an argument. They're looking for somebody to kind of...
Well, it's fun to watch.
Right, it's fun to watch for that aspect of it. But at the same time, what you're saying, then they say something like that where the female orgasm is useless. And it's like, I mean, they try to promote the idea that like guys are trying to, extend their legacy. To extend your legacy, you know, is to have children. The female orgasm is a proponent that's actually good for the encouragement of having a child, because I forget the science of it and everything.
No, it does. It makes your uterus absorb the cum better. I don't know. An orgasm
is supposed to be beneficial to try.
There
to
is
have a
some
child.
Scientific so, purpose, but right, also it's right. like, dude. I mean, back in the fucking turn of the century, early 1900s and 1800s, I think, they doctors were having to masturbate women because they were going hysterical or whatever. That's how the vibrator was invented, literally, because they realized it was good for their mental health. So they would have to have a fucking doctor do it. And it's like, yeah, dude, your wife's going to be fucking miserable. One of them doctors. I mean, I guess so, but I mean, I'm not, that's the thing is everyone's ooh, gynecologist. I'm sure, this has been said before, but look,
that's why
dude,
women love doctors right there.
I have a fucking UTI. I'm not going in here because I'm just you're not my bikini waxer or anything.
You fair. You right. That doctor needs to be professional.
Exactly.
The one that's behind the curtain helping this woman stop her insanity by giving her an orgasm.
If these guys have their way, then fucking we're going to go back to the dark ages where I'm getting beaten off by my doctor.
Outrageous. He can be a little outrageous.
Exactly. That's why I actually I respect Kevin Samuels a lot more than those other dudes. And I feel like they kind of needed him as a role model for them because he actually does care about women a little bit. I feel like at least he cares about hot women. he cares about some women. You just can't be over a size 4 or have any kids or be over 35. But as long as you're under 35 and you're a size 4 and you're hot, and you're above an 8, he cares if you come. He will risk his life chugging Red Bulls and just fucking slamming dick pills
to make sure you come,
to make sure his dick is hard and
he gonna
come.
Give his life to make sure you come. That's the gentleman you want to follow.
And he also was surprisingly pro sex worker. Most of those dudes, misogynist, they fucking hate sex workers, strippers, girls with an OnlyFans, anybody. They just hate them for some, and they still pay for them. And they resent them for it. They're they don't want to see a woman, owning her own sexuality in that way. They think it's dirty, even though they're paying for it. They're like, oh, but you're not wife material. It's like, who cares? I'm not trying to marry you, bitch.
No, you're right. Yeah. You fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry for that tangent.
It's the perfect tangent. I mean, I'm somebody who respects the hustle. I treat it it's definitely a game out here. And who, if you wasn't going to get it, somebody else was. So,
no, it's super, it's harder to date. I used to have a regular job before I started stripping. I had an office job. Dudes would bring me flowers to my job. They would court me. I would be getting courted by guys. They'd be bringing flowers, taking me out on dates and stuff. And I mean, that still happens now, but just not quite as much. I would say I can't really meet somebody at my job and have them be like considering me as a serious option for them. And I've dated a few guys I met at strip clubs, and it kind of was always like, I was like not into it, because I'm like, no, I'm not just like a slam piece. You know what I mean? I'm an actual person. So yeah, like I feel like I have to meet people through comedy because that's the only other thing I do. And that has its own form of problems.
Now that's interesting. Let me, now before I get to the comedy shit, because that's definitely a very interesting part for me too, because as a comedian, I will ask you what is that like then to then like meet somebody when you're dancing and then actually consider this person to be dating? What is it like then? Because we, again, bringing it back to our main topic, was there something about you saw this guy and you thought, oh, he's interesting? Or was it like maybe you went over to it and thinking like, nah, it's just another money opportunity, but he may have sparked the right conversation, or he might have said something to you that made you think that, oh, okay, he's maybe a bit more than all these typical guys that come through here.
You mean like at the strip club?
Yeah.
Well, the first time I dated a guy, he was just hot.
There you go.
He was super hot. And yeah, I mean, we did a dance. We had like physical chemistry. I mean, he like invited me over to his house and went down on me and stuff. And that's a good sign. If a guy will just like go down on you and not try to fuck you, that was kind of cool. Also, I was only 22. So I was just like a dumb bitch, you know. I'm 26 now. I like trying to even think about what my brain was like back then. I was just an idiot, and I'd only been a dancer for like a month, and I'm used to guys treating me really good because I used to have this regular office job and guys recording me. So first guy I met at the strip club seemed like a really nice guy. I thought he was going to be like my future ex-husband. And then, yeah, he ended up kind of just treating me like a booty call. Like he knew my work schedule. He would call me like at 2 a.m. when he knew I was getting off of work. So it was hard to say no, because I'm like, I mean, and he lived down the street from my work. I'm like, oh, I might as well just go over there. So yeah, he kind of tactfully knew my work schedule so he could hit me up in the middle of the night. And I'm like, is it just a booty call? It is when I'm getting off of work. It just happens to be booty call hours. But yeah, I like barely ever stayed the night at his house. Like that very quickly I realized like what it was.
Okay.
But
like that dude also, like, I ended up ghosting him.
Oh, classic.
I don't know. One night it was Sunday night. It was the night when he would always hit me up, and he texted me and I'm like, hey, what's up? Do you want to get together tonight? And he texted back and said, well, that depends. Are you okay if there's another girl in the mix? And I'm like, wow, dude. Okay. I'm like, well, what does she look like? Like, maybe if she was some super bad bitch, maybe she was like so hot that I'm like, all right, this is an experience. But honestly, she wasn't that fucking hot. So I'm like, based on looks alone, I mean, I didn't mean to be mean, but I'm like, you know, maybe she has like a really good personality or something, but it's not really something I want to do. Like, and then didn't even text me back after that. And I'm like, all right, motherfucker. Well, I am never talking to you again. And then he texted me like for the next couple of months, he'd text me and be like, hey, I'm really sorry. I know it's been a while. Like, do you want to maybe get together? And I just never fucking texted him back. I'm like, you fucking bitch. You should have been like 5% nicer to me. Then maybe we could have been fuck buddies. But he got a little too confident. Like, he thought that I was just wrapped around his finger. But honestly, the sex was kind of whack with him. Like, he was one of those dudes that I thought was going to be like, you know, super good in bed. And at the end of the day, like, like made me come, except for the first night when he went down on me. He just did it. I don't know. And you know what? Maybe it was just me. I didn't feel comfortable around him.
That was the excitement of the first night, possibly, that got you there. Then after that, it was like probably just really
awkward. I realized he was a fucking douchebag. Yeah. And I just couldn't get myself there mentally. Couldn't get back there.
Yep.
Yeah, dude. He was, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. I dated one other guy from the club who... He was a guy that I just really hit it off with, like, personality-wise. He was super funny. He really appreciated my sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
We dated, like, I don't know, a few weeks. We were having a great time. He was, like, taking me shopping and taking me out to dinner. We were, like, doing blow in the bathroom at, like, five-star restaurants. Yeah. Yeah, shout out to, and he was just here on business. Like, he was like a foreman, so he was blasting some tunnel or something.
Oh, okay.
And he was from Southern California, so I knew he wasn't gonna be here for that long. But we were hanging out kind of a lot, so I found out his last name and I looked him up and I found him on Facebook, and his fucking profile picture was like him and his wife at the lake wearing matching 10-year anniversary t-shirts. I'm like, wow, dude.
Well, he still sounds like a classy guy. He was still sound like he did pretty good.
Invited me to their wedding because his wife was a cut queen, so she really got off
on
him like banging other girls and stuff.
Yeah, I'm a cut queen. I know what that is.
Yeah. That was fun. I'm actually going through a breakup right now, so I have start date. Yeah, I don't really want to talk too much about it because it'll make me sad. But yeah. I have to, like, we've been together for 2 years, and I have to date other people now, and I don't know. I mean, last time I was dating, I was 23, and I'm 26 now. Mm-hmm. So...
it's been a while.
Be like, yeah, I don't know what it's gonna be like. It's gonna be fucking.
Well, these
weird
streets is wild. I'm gonna tell you that I haven't been out there in a while, but I would definitely say these streets is wild from what I've heard.
And I'm moving to Portland in a few days, so I'm like, I guess I'm just gonna date some fucking lumberjack with like a cheap gauge, yeah, with like a fucking dick piercing or whatever. I don't know what they have up there.
Well, there you go, you know, and hopefully he's somebody that gives the vibes that he might be a good fuck at first sight.
Be gay for a while, you know, just date other strippers. There's plenty of strippers in Portland. Yeah. They're all hot. They're probably all lesbian.
There you go. Even better. Well, Davey, this has been a really good episode. We reaching the hour mark. I don't want to hold you up for too long. I know you I've actually had a really good time with you, and it sounds like you've had a good time too. We definitely love to have you back on. Hopefully the other guys are on so we can get a whole group discussion. But this has been a lot of fun.
Let me just plug my podcast, which I would love to have you on.
Yeah.
I have a few episodes out. I'm releasing the rest as like a 10-part series. It's called Stripper Eye for the Pathetic Guy. And it's me and my stripper friends. And occasionally we'll have like a male comedian on as a guest. And we'll try to, you know, try to solve all of his problems, and then we'll move on together, solve like cultural issues, and it's pretty funny.
Nice.
I have to say, so I'm gonna release it in seasons, and I'm trying to record some new episodes, so I'd love to have you on. And when does this come out? Does this come out tomorrow?
We released ours every week So like the following week. So this one will probably be coming out this weekend.
Well, I have my last show in San Francisco, but it's tomorrow. So you guys are going to miss it. Sorry, listeners. But follow me on Instagram at Davy Kirsch, DeviKirsch at Twitter. And yeah, thank you.
Yeah, for sure. This has been the High Guys Podcast, y'all. We'll definitely smoke with you next time. Deuces.
Bye.